531.
With the general election taking place on the 19th of September, along with two referendums on recreational use of cannabis and the End of Life Choice Act of 2019, over the next 4 months on Pacific Breakfast, we are aiming to speak with leaders of our respective political parties, as well as all Pacific candidates across all parties, to give you, our listeners and viewers, more insight to make an informed decision come Election Day 2020. This morning, we are honoured to be joined by Deputy Prime Minister, Minister of Foreign Affairs and Leader of New Zealand First Party, the Right Honourable Valvasa Manaia Winston-Peters. Maloswe Fulo Afionga, thank you so much for your time this morning, Deputy Prime Minister.
Not at all. Thanks for having me on your show.
Well, Deputy Prime Minister, unprecedented, this word that we didn't use much before COVID-19, but over the last few months has impacted New Zealand so greatly.
Well, it's been devastating, not just for New Zealand, but right around the world. It's been absolutely unprecedented for, say, 100 years to have a disaster of this nature with such catastrophic effects for the economy and also for so many millions of people who have lost their lives or who will lose their lives as a consequence. So it's a just appalling invader or intruder from somewhere else that's visited upon the populations of the world. And as a consequence, we've had to combine and in our country do our best to try and defeat it. And we're doing very, very well here, but we'll take decades or a long, long time to recover what we've lost by way of the economic growth in our country.
Deputy Prime Minister, the biggest challenges that you see over the last few months during COVID-19 on New Zealand in particular?
Well, the biggest challenge we met, and that was, would 5 million New Zealand people combine together, keep the rules, and do their best to triumph over COVID-19? And we've done that. And we're now 35 days from the last community transmission outbreak in our country. 35 days, that's over two cycles of 14 days. We're well past that. So we've won that war, in my view, although you can never, and it's very complicated. When you hear people talking about eliminating it, well, we may not ever eliminate it, but we're winning, and we're winning for sure so profoundly well. Here's the real battle, though. How do we turn around economic losses of jobs and an economic loss of business? That's the number one thing we've got to fight now. And I hope we show the same sense of unity, because it's critical. Hundreds of thousands of people are going to be damaged by this, and many businesses in their tens of thousands have been damaged. We've got to join together, leave our dogma and our bias outside the door, and get on with some unity to recover this country as fast as we can.
In terms of moving to alert level one, more than likely announcement being made on Monday. And of course, the way that you are forward in your views and forefront, as expected of someone who is 40 years plus in politics, the timing should have gone to alert level one sooner. What are your thoughts?
Well, you asked me for my personal thoughts, and I've made my views very clear to my cabinet colleagues, to the Prime Minister, to the country. And that is, when you've got the evidence that you've complied with the prescription set for us to be successful, when you've got the evidence, then move. Because people will go from being totally cooperative to being annoyed with you if they think that you're being unnecessarily restraining on their freedoms. And it is a freedom issue. It's a freedom to get out there, a freedom to get going, to get your business back into operation and to see and meet your friends and other people. And we've been through a long period. We all knew we had to do it. But frankly, let's face it, and the same for your listeners, this constraint is brassing us all off. I know that, you know that. I see people just, they've had it up to here with being confined. They're happy to contribute, but now they want to get back into real life. And I think the decision should have been made already. But I'm only one voice.
One, albeit a very strong voice in Parliament at the moment, Valvasa Manaia. Valvasa Manaia, in terms of elections, we're about four months out. Talk to me now, please, in terms of New Zealand First and plans or preparations, policies, platforms that you are looking at for the upcoming elections.
Well, we're getting set. We're ready to go. Our campaign's going to be shortly underway. Obviously, it'll be based on our party name, Put New Zealand First. It means Put New Zealanders First. It means plain common sense and experience, which is desperately needed in politics. A lot of people have got all the esoteric ideas in the world. They've read all the books. But when it comes to experience and common sense, they don't have it. And you'll have observed them, and so will your listeners. It's why, for example, in Samoa, the Prime Minister is 21 years in the job, because he's got experience, he's got the intelligence. And so those sorts of things are rather critical in election time. And more importantly, you'll be offered all sorts of suggestions that the money tree's around the corner, I can fix it up, all the kind of things that are going to be made in the campaign. But have a good hard look and ask yourself, will they deliver? Of course they won't. So our point is, excuse me, be very careful what you hear in the campaign, because if it doesn't make sense, it won't be, a delivered reality after the election. Just one thing. You will notice that New Zealand First has come under enormous attack from a number of people in our society. All sorts of allegations that New Zealand First did this and New Zealand First did that. You know why we're coming under those allegations? Because they can't stand a party that's been around for 27 years, going out to 30 years, the longest new, most successful new party in this country's recent history. If they can't get rid of you by fair means, they try foul. I just say to all your listeners, when you hear these allegations about New Zealand First, ask, why don't you hear it about the other parties who've all done so much worse, I can assure you. I can prove it with the greatest difficulty. We have kept the rules. We've never had much money come election time because we're not supported by big, massive business in the way other parties are. But we'll be back on election night, I can assure you. And just one last thing, the polls, even they can't get rid of us at this point in time. We're starting on the rise. And our record is to do massively well in the closing months of a campaign. It's a bit like a race, you know, a 10,000-meter race. It's not what you're doing in the first 9,000 meters. It's the last 10,000. It's the last 1,000 meters where it matters. And that's where we intend to do very, very well. Just one thing. No party has a record of delivering in the Pacific. I got it. No party has a record of delivering to the Pacific in the way my party has. In two shots of being the foreign minister, I've made sure that our responsibilities in the Pacific got far greater attention and more resources to help our Pacific neighborhood, because our blue continent in which we live, the security and safety of our people is interdependent. Any insecurity in the Pacific will be insecure for New Zealand and vice versa. But you will not find any Pacific leader who won't back me up when I say we are paying the Pacific the proper attention it needs to be paid, it being the biggest continent in the world, the blue continent we call the Pacific.
Valvasamane, I want to go back a bit, because you talked about New Zealand First being formed, going back 27 years, and that coming out of your resignation from the National Party at the time. Going back 27 years, or, you know, in hindsight, in terms of the way the party has tracked, in terms of the issues are brought to light, and, what the party stands for, you're still as a passionate now in terms of achievements through the party as when you first formed it back in 1993, and it's still tracking well?
Well, yes, I am still as passionate, because the reasons why we started back in 1993 was because you could recall the Labour Party of 1984 threw out the rule book, threw out their manifesto, and brought on a total right-wing doctrine. And ordinary people were punished massively just for being ordinary. And I was in the National Party saying, this is wrong. And when we got in, we headed down the same track just as well. Forgot our manifesto, having promised we're going to fix things up. You know, all the statements that were made. And now we're having rows in the cabinet about going down a different path secretly, never discussed with the people in the election. And some of us said, well, I said, I've had enough of this. I'm not keeping quiet. I'm going to tell the world what you like. And I never stopped. So, yes, I was passionate. And, this has cost me enormously in terms of court cases and being dismissed from a cabinet over the years. But you're selected by the people to stand up for what you believe in and say. And I just remind your viewers and your listeners of this one fact. A lot of people promise everything, right? They're long on pre-sales talk and no after-sales service. So you can't blame me or New Zealand Person for that. We are strong on after-sales service. We hold the line. We put up an argument for the people of this country, and we defend it against all the influencers who seek to forget the ordinary voice of the country the moment they get political power.
Yes, well, referring back to your initial statement about a coronavirus being an invader, it could be some sort of link to, because you've always been strong in terms of immigration, but that's another matter altogether. In terms of personally, Val Vasamanaya, 40 years plus, you know, as a canny and shrewd political operator, and those are the nice things that, you know, have been said, and others that we care not to mention, of course. How do you manage the personal toll? Because, of course, you, like anyone else, you have family. You've got, wife, children, you know, extended family. I mean, two of your older brothers, you know, stood formally for New Zealand First, you know, political, you know, for the party. How do you continue after 40 years to balance the public life, you know, the commitments to the party, your role as Deputy Prime Minister, leader of the, you know, New Zealand First Party, Minister of Racing, etc. after all these years?
That's a great question. You know, I don't think anybody can successfully answer the question. Yeah, that is that if they mean business. Because politics is a very absorbing profession. If you are committed, if you are a believer in what you're doing, then it requires a lot of your time. And I think when you ask that question, the answer is we can't. And worse than that, I think you've got all your friends and the people close to you who you, all you can do is say, look, I'm sorry, I haven't had enough time. I've just been drawn away at this profession. I've looked it down over the years and thought, how could this change? How can you get a better life balance? But when something is going wrong and you're opposed to it, then life balance goes out the door while you're trying to fix it. Or if you want to make something happen and it requires work, then life balance also gets sacrificed. So, you know, it's 7 days a week and extensive time and commitments. But, you know, you put your hand up, it's not compulsory to be in politics. If you put your hand up, there's an enormous price. And there's no way I can change that. It's just the way it is.
Even at the cost of maybe family relationships, Val Vasamanaya?
Yeah, even at the cost of family relationships. But, you know, as I say, it's a privilege to be a politician in this country. It's a privilege to be able to serve people. And don't forget, service is what it's about. You see politicians who get a sense of entitlement, who think, that, you know, well, my career path is like this. I should be this, I should be this, I should be this, and I should be the Prime Minister. How many of them think that? Well, nearly all of them do, actually. But whether I got any talent to do the job, you and I, I'll leave it up to your audience.
Did you ever think, Val Vasamanaya?
In fact, I used to say, you know, New Zealanders can take a joke, have a look at Parliament.
Oh, my life. And we're not even going to get into the comparisons of Parliament during any given session to school grounds and what happens on school grounds and that as well. But did you ever think of Val Vasamanaya, you know, going back a bit, 1966, teaching at Te Atatū Intermediate School and then, what, being a blast furnace worker in Newcastle in a tunneler in the snowy mountains there. Did you ever think, you know, looking at that time, that you would end up where you are now?
No. I was teaching at, I taught at intermediate school, I taught at secondary school as well. And then, you're right, I worked underground, 11 miles through the ground in snowy mountains, worked for BHP in Newcastle in a very dangerous job. But in the end, I never thought that I would be in politics really until, as a lawyer, I was called in a case 1974, where the government of the day, the then Labour government, and the local council up north was taking all this land compulsorily off a whole lot of Māori and European people. About 475 different landowners were being attacked by the central government and the local council. And I began a class action on behalf of them against both the Crown and against the City Council, the then County Council, the Whangarei County Council. We were enormously successful. But when I was in the middle of that case, I thought, you know, if I was in politics, I could stop this right now.
Yes. So
that's what changed my mind to think I'll get into politics one day, because can I just share something with you? Politics has got the capacity to do so much damage to people, but there's no profession I know that can do so much good so fast as politics. You know, keep your eye on the prize.
Mm. And of course, that action that you talk about, you know, being credited with, you know, what led to the land march, you know, Dame Fina Cooper at the time, and of course, the preservation of that land for future generations. Talking about generations, 40 plus years now, Vau Vasamanaya, and can I say you're looking very well for mid 70s? The big question, of course, will this be your final election? Are you going to finally be able to retire and write the memoir that everyone will want to read one day, and, you know, see this colourful political career that has been played out on the public stage over the last four decades?
Well, let me say, I go to every election on the basis of giving it your best shot and trusting and believing that you're going to make it, and I'll worry about that after the election. As for writing a book, what concerns me about so many people who write a book, if I was to write a book about my experiences, what I know, I would betray a lot of people. I'd get the headlines and I'd sell a lot of books, I tell you. But I'd betray a lot of people. And I've watched some of my past acquaintances writing a book. And you know what they are in the main? The dearest doorstops you've ever seen. Nobody reads them. They go and buy about 2,000 copies themselves and say, I've got a bestseller. If I wrote a book, and I thought about it, and I was actually writing a book once, a long time ago, and I got to five chapters, and then one day I thought to myself, what on earth am I doing writing a book? Why don't I try and live one and do it properly?
And with that, it's a very big thank you. Deputy Prime Minister of New Zealand, the Right Honourable Vau Vasamanaya Winston Peters. Vau Vasamanaya, we thank you so much for taking time out of your very busy schedule to join us this morning. It's been great speaking with you. All the very best for the upcoming elections, and to you and the family, stay safe. Thank you very much. Have a great day.
Well, thank you. Can I just say one other thing?
Of course. Yes.
Well, thank you very, very much. It's been a pleasure to talk to your listeners. Now, remember, you got two votes in this election. Use your second vote and buy some insurance. Vote for New Zealand First. Thank you very much.
The kingmaker as always. Thank you, Vau Vasamanaya. God bless. Have a great day. Thank you. It is 28 minutes to 8. And coming up shortly, we will be connecting with the Labour Party candidate in Porirua, Barbara Edmonds, standing for the Mana electorate at the elections coming up in September again, the 19th of September. Langa sa vea na machi langona. 531 PI Pacific People Together.